Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
What should you do when someone steals your name? I have with me Lynn Madransky, who is amazing. She actually is part of Igniting Souls. And the other day we were talking about intellectual property, and she shared with me that somebody stole her organization's name. So we're going to get into that today. But first, let's just talk about the emotion. So Lynn, when you discovered this, I think on Facebook, what emotions did you feel?
I think first was like betrayal, sort of. And then it was a little bit of fear. Because I was afraid, like, are they going to make us look bad? Is this going to influence? Is it going to confuse people who are looking for us? And sure. So all those things went through my head when I found them.
Yeah. So folks, we're talking today about intellectual property, and you might think, is a name really IP? And it actually is. For example, I cannot use Nike for a shoe company. In other words, in the state or in the United States, there is what's called trademark law, and trademark has 45 different classes. And so someone might have the term Apple as computer products. That doesn't mean that somebody else couldn't create a company called Apple if it was totally different and non-confusing for the customer. In other words, if they were selling physical apples. But the moment you are in the same category in terms of a trademark, you are now infringing. And that goes back to date and time. Who was there first? Now, with an entity like a church name or a business name, you really need to get into what's called the Secretary of State. And prior to the show here, we looked up your West Virginia entity name. And so every state in the United States has a Secretary of State. You can look it up for free. And we put in there Sycamore Tree Ministries. And you've had this thing since, again, very important, the date. That's why we love Instant IP, right? Because Instant IP allows you to timestamp when you have something. So I'm not saying that Instant IP replaces the Secretary of State, but we talk about layering IP. And Lynn, you're one of our amazing writers at Igniting Souls. And part of what we do is we protect the book. And we do protect it with a copyright, but we also protect it with Instant IP. Why do we add multiple layers? In fact, even if you just think about your house for a moment, you might have a lock and a security camera and a dog and a fence. Like, why not just have a lock? What do you think?
Well, one is nice, but the more that I feel like the more that you have, the more legal standing you have if you have to go that far. And that's what I was thinking when I protected the church name on Instant IP. It's like, I just want one more thing so that if I have to pursue this, I have more to show the court. Like, no, I'm more passionate about this than anybody else.
Yeah. So it's not going to hurt you to have more layers. In other words, with Instant IP, yes, I filed with the Secretary of State, but prior to that, I turned it into a smart contract on Instant IP. And then I even went forward to create a trademark on top of that in 8 different classes. And you might think, well, gee, Carrie, that's a little overkill. I'll tell you what, Lynn, you know, when our name used to be something else, we won't say that name because of legal issues, but there was, prior to Instant IP, there was another name. And I thought everything was secure. The government told me everything was secure. What do I mean by that? We filed a trademark on this other name. We had a doing business as, we still do. But when you file a trademark, even if you're clear in the US, there's a 30-day oppositional period where everybody can come out of the woodwork and try to contest your trademark. A multi-billion dollar company contested it, even though they slipped under the government's radar, even though they slipped under our radar. And basically they said, look, we have this name. You can either license it for the rest of your life, you can go to court and try to take it from us, or you can rebrand. And then we rebranded. So that's why I'm a little bit overkill with my IP now, because again, the rebrand took new shirts, new websites, new business cards. I mean, you put all that together, not to mention customer branding. People called it the wrong name for 6-12 months, you know, because again, it's like, why go to Chase? Wait, it's Bank One. Wait, it's JP Morgan Chase. Like when a company rebrands, there's a lot of confusion and you lose some brand equity with your clients. So it took a $10,000 minimum rebrand. So I am a little bit overkill with IP, but let's take you back to Facebook here. On Facebook, I found it right before the show. Here you are, Sycamore Tree Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else comes along and is very similar, even down to the logo, obviously a tree.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're out there posting. And if, again, if you're thinking, wait, I'm liking Lynn's church, I'm over there, you know, and then all of a sudden you got this one. Back to your point, you didn't know what they were going to say. You know, here's another one. And it becomes very confusing. Like, am I going to the Lynn's thing or somebody else? So what have you thought about this since this happened?
Mainly I was just very concerned that of the confusion, like you said. And then what if they start posting stuff that is anti-scriptural? What if they, you know, right now the one page is just posting scripture. The other page looks like it wants to be a church, but they had a launch, but no place or date. So it also scared me that they were like scammers trying to maybe look good, but then sneak in and hurt somebody. So,
yeah, it's like, where are these people even from?
Yeah.
Now these people, again, nothing against them, but like they could be saying, click here, give money here. Right.
Yes.
You know, one follower. Okay. So clearly you existed before they did. But again, like this is a very, you know, no reviews. And I share all this because I'm going to share here in a second, instantip.net. There's people who are, I'm going to just say straight up, bad motives. They're literally taking our light bulb. They're taking our name. They bought instantip.net. They're literally trying to offer a competitive product that is so jacked up. There's no location. This is fake. And then if you come to the people, watch this. You can see my screen, Lynn?
Yes.
Watch this here. I think we'll get there. It might be under about. We've got Sophia, we've got David, we've got Michael, and we've got Jessica. I mean, clearly, this is not even trying to, you know, I couldn't be happier with Instant IP's service. I mean, all this stuff is fake, and you click this, and it's just Instagram, it's just Facebook, it's just Twitter. There's no, like, this is clearly either, I mean, who's going to invest the time and money to buy a domain, build a competitive website, and create confusion in the marketplace unless their motives are just straight up wrong?
Yes. And that's what scared me. Are these people looking good right now, but later, what are they going to do?
Oh, sure. And they could put a give to our mission, and all of a sudden you talk to somebody and now they're sending money to, again, like, folks, not to freak anybody out, but I mean, we're seeing with what's happening in the world today, people think they're sending money somewhere and it could actually be going to terrorism, human trafficking, things that are drugs that are not even in agreement with most listeners. So what do you do? I think what you do, Lynn, is this chart. And first of all, it's been awesome to see you for so long care about authors and help them with their books. But we call this the IP flywheel. Lynn published a Facebook page. In fact, that's even the term they use.
Yes.
Publish. So publish, but before you publish and promote and then maybe profit, profit could be attention. It could be impact. It could be money. But most people go publish, promote, profit, publish, promote, profit. They forget protect. And so that's where, again, the missing piece is you lack confidence because now you have competitors out there. So what have you been able to do, Lynn, now that you've protected? You said, Carrie, I protected on Instant IP. What did that do for you emotionally?
It just, I did. I felt more confident because I felt like I have this thing that will stand up in court if I need it to. And if I need to send them a cease and desist, I have something to back up my claim. So I can send them a cease and desist if I need to.
Yeah. I mean, you could here's what we suggest too. Here's a tip. You send it the platform. So like you could actually send to Facebook because Facebook doesn't want to get into a legal battle. So if you said to Facebook, look, I've registered with the state of West Virginia. Here's the screenshot. I filed a smart contract with Instant IP. Here's the timestamp on the blockchain. Now all of a sudden you're stacking the case and Facebook's like, whoa, we don't want to get into this. We're going to just ban that competitor. And that's actually what I would suggest, Lynn, if you are truly worried about that, you can click on Facebook. And I think what you click is impersonator.
And I probably need, because like I said, the second one, they have a launch date and they have a pastor supposedly, but they don't have any location or place to go. So that would make me assume that it can't be real because why would you have a launch date and a pastor with no location?
Oh, it's so good. That's so good.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, Lynn, I just typed into Facebook because I've had impersonators like legit, like my headshot, everything, you know? So I just typed into Facebook my name. That's me. That's me. But then what else showed up was this guy. I don't know who this guy is, but what I'm excited about, I don't even know this. I don't even know this guy. I owe a massive debt to Dan Sullivan, Carrie Oberon for helping me into my deep IP thinking. I don't even know what this is, but I'm going to congratulate that guy. I don't even know what he did, but love to learn more. But again, like this is all stuff we need to protect because this is me right now and most are okay, but we all have, I mean, my mom has told me like somebody's hacked me, somebody's impersonating me. And I mean, there's all kinds of stories of like getting money sent to the grandkids. I mean, now, no joke. Now there's a scam going on where they call you. They want you to say, hello, who's this? And then they clone your voice. And now they can essentially hack other things and use your voice. And hey, Lynn, this is Carrie. You know, I need some finances. Can you send it here? And again, folks, you can't be too careful. And that's why Instant IP exists to create that confidence for you and protect things. So yes. Lynn, I'm proud of you. And yeah, you did the right thing. So first of all, folks, if you are in a state where you do want to organize a business, a nonprofit, I do recommend filing. It's about $100, a Secretary of State filing. that's layer one. Prior to that, you can even say, look, because that takes a little bit of time and money, I'm going to use my free instant IP credit first, put it on the smart contract. Now, at least nobody can grab it after, you know, they're now a second mover versus a first mover. So Lynn, thanks for all you're doing. And then maybe you could just spend a couple minutes talking about the publishing process, how you see that when authors like a Mark Winners, great book, by the way, puts right on the back, protected by instant IP. But when a guy like Mark is going through his book and protecting the IP, that's so nice. First time I looked at that, I just got this in the mail. To my IP and publishing guru. That's so nice, Mark. But what would you say that it does for the author?
Well, you create actual income streams even, because now it's yours. And it becomes more than just an idea.
Yeah.
It becomes, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's more than just an idea. It's an actual
asset,
tangible asset, rather than just this, just an idea.
Yeah.
And I know, like, as I've started going through Instant IP, I've looked at my books differently, and there are phrases that I use.
Yeah.
That.
You see that one?
Yep.
The culture. What does it say? The culture formula. Culture
formula. Yep.
And tell people what the superscript IP means.
That's the instant IP. That's telling the world, this is registered. It's mine.
Yeah.
I own it. Yeah.
And you know, it's so much better than a TM, because a TM means unregistered trademark, literally unregistered trademark. You cannot use an R with a circle legally unless you've filed with the government, gone through all kinds of processes. And people say it's simple, but trust me, it's not. You know, I have several sitting right now for over 12 months, and then they require office actions, which is more time and money. I'm not against trademarks. I have several. But a TM, it kind of bugs me when I see it, because, again, it's funny. Imagine Lynn being me. Everywhere I go, I see a TM and I have a gut reaction, because I just realized that that is somebody who did a keystroke on a computer. It could mean that they filed a trademark, but technically it's unregistered. And I would say the vast majority, over 95%, just put a TM. And that actually can incur a lawsuit, because you might be putting a TM on someone else's real registered trademark or filed registered trademark, and now you're infringing. So I didn't realize
you could legally put the TM on until recently. I went to look for somebody's stuff with the USPTO because they had the TM after it. So I went to look, and it's not there anywhere. I contacted him and I said, I don't see this. And a lawyer told me just to put that on everything. I'm like, okay. And I looked it up, and it's like, yeah, sure enough, you can. But what
it's almost, it's almost like saying, I use the analogy of your house. It's almost like saying, did you lock the door? Because if you're not sure you locked the door, that's an unregistered trademark. Are you covered? Technically not. So you think you're protected, but other people can actually see your TM, do what you did, go to the USPTO and say, oh, it's open, and go file it. It's almost a signal that you think something's valuable, but they can go grab it. So it's actually, like, I view it as much more risk. Maybe infringing somebody else, signaling to the world, go steal it because I haven't done anything with it. The superscript IP tells the world only people who filed instant IP on the blockchain can actually use that. It's like Idaho potatoes. It's called a certification mark.
Yeah. Yeah. I sort of see the unregistered trademark as putting your bike chain on your bike, but not moving the numbers.
Oh, yeah. And putting a sign above it that says my bike is not locked, because again, anyone can go to the USPTO, type it in. And if it's available, they're like, oh, Lynn thinks this is valuable, but she hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
You know, and squatting, I mean, they literally have a term called patent trolls. I mean, there is stories of people grabbing up other people's IP and locking them out of their own invention.
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, I will tell you, Igniting Souls is the only publisher on the planet that is publishing you with your IP in mind and helping you monetize your multiple streams of IP through income. So Lynn, thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing the real life church example. I can now always point to people this episode, and hey, people should go to your website for your church. Why don't you name that website one more time?
SycamoreTreeChurch.com.
SycamoreTreeChurch.com. That's the yes. real one.
That's
and
the real
I'm going to share the link here so everybody can see this, but this is the real thing. And hey, check it out. Go to that church. It's great. And sure enough, I've met Steve too, and he's amazing. So they're doing great things over there, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.